Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
These stories contain distressing themes and brief descriptions of violence. This content is not suitable for children, and listener discretion is advised. It was an ordinary Wednesday evening in January 1994, and just shy of 8 p.m. Catherine Maidens had just put her baby down to sleep upstairs in the home she shared with her husband Terry in Whitestone, Nuneaton. Downstairs, Terry sat on the sofa in the front living room, their four-year-old son on his lap, watching Coronation Street. So when there was a knock at the door, it was Catherine who went to answer it. Through the window, she saw the person was wearing a motorcycle helmet, and she immediately assumed it was a pizza delivery man knocking on the wrong house. After all the homes on Stainforth Close were so similar. It was when she opened the door to a sawn-off double-barrel shotgun in her face that she knew it was no pizza delivery. My name's Benjamin Fitton from They Walk Among Us. Welcome to Murder Town, the podcast. Following each episode of Crime and Investigation's True Crime TV series, we'll explore another case right here. Before Catherine had a chance to react, the gunman pushed her backwards into the hall as he passed her, going straight for the living room. Terry moved his son from his lap, standing up as the gunman entered the room. There was no hesitation as the gun was lifted to Terry's head, firing the first shot point blank, and immediately a second into his chest. He fell to the floor as the killer turned around calmly and walked out of the house without a word. 26-year-old Catherine and their young son were unharmed. By the time the police and ambulance arrived, Terry was pronounced dead. He had been killed instantly. When detectives began investigating, it was clear the killer had come in specifically to kill. There was no communication with Catherine. There was no burglary, and he left immediately after. The way the killer came into the house seemed like an execution, like a contract killing. From the outset, however, there was one thing they could not establish. Why would anyone want the 34-year-old factory operations manager and devoted father dead? They had no clue. Looking at the lead-up to the murder, nothing out of the ordinary had occurred in Terry's day or life. He had spent the day at Linpack Mouldings, the Witten Birmingham-based plastics manufacturer, where he was the factory manager. After work, he had driven home, taking the couple's eldest son to a scout meeting before going home to the rest of the family. Terry had been employed by Linpack for 19 years. Originally working for them in Southend-on-Sea, Essex. It was at the Southend plant that he met Catherine, who worked in the accounts department. 2 years earlier in 1991, he had been offered a promotion, and the couple and their young family moved to Nuneaton, with Terry becoming a manager at the factory there. Terry was not known to police, and everyone in his life was baffled as to any motive whatsoever. The only thing that made any sense was that it was a hit gone bad. and the police told the public they were prioritizing the possibility that the gunman got the wrong house that night. There are only two styles of houses on Stainforth Close, and even then they are almost identical. Red brick, two-story detached or semi-detached homes, each with a single closed car garage and a centered front door. 2 miles southeast of the center of Nuneaton, Whitestone was just a few farms until around 1920. The now desirable suburb didn't see real growth, however, until the post-war housing developments of the 50s through 70s. A number of private housing developments became what is now Whitestone, given its name from the historical Whitestone jutting from the ground, the traveller's milestone that remains there today. As Nuneaton expanded, it became a somewhat large commuter town for Coventry and Birmingham, with the entire region home to many engineering, automotive and aerospace manufacturers and suppliers. For someone like Terry working in Birmingham, Whitestone was a logical place for him and his family. It was quiet and safe. Detective Superintendent Tony Bayliss of the Warwickshire CID held a news conference, saying they were keeping an open mind as to whether it was a contract killing. He said in part, quote, "The killing of Terry Maidens was cold, was calculated, and was as callous as one can imagine. It was a very cool and calm killing, but at the moment there is nothing in his background that could suggest why Terry was killed and what could possibly have motivated such a brutal murder. What is certain is that Mr. Maiden's killer is extremely dangerous and must be caught immediately." Catherine said, "I have spent the last 2 days desperately looking for a reason to this killing, but I cannot think of anyone at all who would have anything to do with this." They called on anyone with any information to come forward, realizing that on the evening of the murder, many families would have been inside watching Coronation Street, just like Terry. That episode of Corrie was a huge TV event, with popular character Reg Holdsworth marrying Maureen Naylor. Detective Superintendent Bayliss said that a vital clue had been found at the crime scene and would be important in the hunt for the killer. The shotgun cartridge left on the floor was an Elix Alpha Max .3 cartridge, normally used for hunting fowl, and was rare enough that they hoped someone might know of an individual who used these. Police questioned family and friends. They spoke with colleagues and also tracked down past co-workers and friends in Southend, but it brought them no closer to any answers. The public were asked if they had seen or knew of anyone wearing an Air Force blue full-face motorcycle helmet, a lighter blue quilted waist-length jacket and boots, on or around that time. There was no proof the killer even had a motorbike that night, but they were just assuming so. 2 days after Terry's murder, the Newcastle Journal published a short piece stating that the killing, quote, "adds a new dimension to the rising wave of crime which has swept the Midlands. Police have long called for more controls over the availability of firearms, and this has more than proved their point. This man is far too dangerous to be on the loose."
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? for me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There had long been calls for tighter gun control across the United Kingdom. Prior to 1995, deactivated firearms could be held by collectors in Britain without a license. It was discovered that droves of these deactivated semi- and fully automatic weapons were being bought and sold, then reinstated in criminal circles. Often a deactivated firearm would be purchased for around £100, but fixed up and sold working for up to 10 times that amount. And then in 1996, the Dunblane massacre occurred, and everything changed. In 1997 and 1998, both the provisions of the Firearms Amendment Act 1997 and the Firearms Amendment No. 2 Act 1997 came into force. These acts effectively prohibited the private possession of all calibers of handgun, apart from a few exceptions, for example, by vets for the purposes of humane animal shootings and registered sporting guns. No longer were guns allowed for any other private use, even with a license. An amnesty took place and a buyback scheme, which similarly also took place in Australia at the time, where over 160,000 handguns were surrendered and mostly destroyed. Terry's murder was one of 8 homicides in Warwickshire in 1994 and one of the 49 in the West Midlands. That year, Warwickshire Police's main concerns were thefts and burglaries, and to have a homicide on their hands with no obvious motive was highly unusual. 3 days following Terry's murder, on Saturday, January 29th, police utilised the press to send a message to a man they wished to speak to, someone they had been tipped off about but were unable to locate. In the interests of public safety, police had made the unusual choice to name the person wanted for questioning in Terry Maiden's murder. Newspapers across the region printed call-outs for a man whose red Suzuki motorcycle had been found abandoned near Stirling, Scotland, on the M9 motorway. The bike was registered to 40-year-old Colin Leslie Middleton of Woodgate Valley. When police looked into Middleton, they found that he had been, until recently, an employee at the Birmingham Linpack Mouldings factory. A warning went out that Middleton may well be armed, and he was considered dangerous. Superintendent Bayliss said, quote, "We wish to speak with him urgently. If anyone knows of his whereabouts or sees him, on no account should he be approached." Bayliss told the press that Middleton owned shotguns, but they were missing from his home. Scottish police were trying to track down the motorcycle helmet, as well as the clothing the gunman had been wearing. After a photo of Colin Middleton was released, police then received their first tip from a member of the public. A lorry driver from Perthshire, Scotland, called in to say he recognised the man in the picture. He had picked up the man in Stirling, close to where the motorbike had been abandoned, and driven him to Pitlochry. Then the owner of a local hotel called the Craig Rack had also recognised the man as a guest currently staying at his hotel. In fact, the man was well known in town, as he often holidayed there. He had stayed at the hotel before. The day after the murder, the man had checked into the hotel and paid a few nights up front. The man had mingled with guests at the bar the following night. That evening, 3 detective constables, plain-clothed and unarmed, sat in wait at the hotel lounge, while armed officers positioned themselves outside. Just after 9 p.m, Colin Middleton came down from his room. The officers approached him and Middleton was arrested. Officers then checked his room, finding his firearms. After Terry's murder, Middleton had left his home and gone to Cheshire, before going north to Scotland, to the place he regularly holidayed in Pitlochry. Police arrived at the hotel arresting Middleton and taking him back to Nuneaton to be questioned. 40-year-old Colin Middleton lived alone in a council maisonette in Bartley Green, Birmingham. His neighbours described him as a nice, quiet guy who had a rough time recently with work. They had been told that he had been made redundant some months earlier from his job at Linpack Mouldings nearby, but they believed he had taken on a new job fairly quickly, though had taken sick leave. In Nuneaton, Middleton was remanded in custody for 3 days on suspicion of murder. Charges were then brought against him and he would appear at Nuneaton Magistrates Court charged with both illegal possession of firearms for which he had no license, and the murder of Terry Maidens. It was at Birmingham Crown Court that Colin Middleton pleaded not guilty to the charge of murder. Over the week-long trial, the court heard that up until 2.5 months before Terry's killing, Middleton had been employed by Linpack as a toolmaker on night shifts. In the lead-up to his departure from the company, Terry had received reports that Middleton had been refusing to carry out tasks on the job and refusing to take direction from senior staff. He was also reported to be intimidating other workers. Terry moved him to day shifts and Middleton was furious. Shortly after, on November 9th, Colin Middleton's fury came to a head when, during an outburst on site, Middleton kicked a factory door and was subsequently reprimanded again by Terry. Colin Middleton walked off the job that day. He then went off sick and never returned to the factory or contacted them again. It was unclear what transposed in the mind of Middleton over the coming 2.5 months, but at trial, Mr. Timothy Raggett QC prosecuting described Middleton becoming obsessed with Terry Maidens and from there planned his execution. In court, Middleton argued that he was present at the house that night. He was still so angry about the situation at work that, according to him, he just wanted to punch Terry on the nose. He agreed that he was in possession of a double-barreled sawn-off shotgun, but that the only reason he had the gun was if he needed to shoot the hinges off the front door of the home. He had, apparently, no intention of shooting Terry. He claimed that when he entered the house that night, he walked through to the lounge and tripped. The gun had gone off accidentally. The prosecution didn't buy it. 2 shots point blank to Terry's head and chest did not match an accidental firing of a shotgun. Catherine Maidens took the stand, describing the man that killed her husband as having laughing eyes. And when the jury read their guilty verdict, Middleton was reported to have smirked. Both cheers and sobs were heard in the public gallery. When the judge, Mr. Justice Latham, spoke to Middleton, he said, quote, "The evidence I've heard makes it plain to me that there will be a need for considerable care to be taken in assessing you over the next few years to establish the extent for which you need help." Catherine Maidens spoke outside the court, quote, "Nobody is able to bring back my husband, but at least justice, as far as our judicial system allows, has been done."
I'm Catherine Kelly, host of Crime and Investigation's true crime TV series, Murder Town. Join me next Monday at 9 p.m. for my visit to Grimsby, a town where a gruesome discovery triggered the biggest crime investigation in northeast Lincolnshire in the 21st century. For more information on the series, head to crimeandinvestigation.co.uk and let us know your thoughts by searching for Crime and Investigation on social media or using hashtag MurderTown.
The MurderTown podcast is hosted by Benjamin Fitton, researched and written by Anna Priestland, and edited and produced by Chloe Frost.
My name's Dr. Fern Riddell, and I'm the host of Not What You Thought You Knew, a brand new podcast series from History. In each episode, we'll explore some unexpected historical characters, to reveal not just their incredible stories, but also why they're so important for changing the way we look at the past. Episodes include the Black British history of the Mary Rose, Henry VIII's sunken ship, Mary Anning, a fossil hunter who showed the gentleman scientists of the day what's what, and Aphra Behn, Charles II's spy in the Netherlands and the first female playwright. Subscribe to Not What You Thought You Knew on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or your favourite podcast app, or search for History UK to find out more.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I have an exclusive offer to listeners of this podcast to receive 50% off a subscription to the Crime and Investigation Play app. You'll be streaming thousands of hours of unmissable true crime content, including Court Cam, Booked, First Day In, and Taking the Stand, all ad-free on Crime and Investigation Play. Head to crimeandinvestigationplay.co.uk, the link is in the episode description, and use the offer code Anatomy of a Stalker when prompted. That's Anatomy of a Stalker to get 50% off the Crime and Investigation Play app. Offer starts 1st of December 2023 and ends 30th of April 2024 and is applicable for the full term of any package you choose to purchase. Subscription auto-renews at the standard package rate after the first term depending on package chosen. Dates may be subject to change at any time. See the episode description for full terms and conditions.